From the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. My guests today are Stacy Earle and Mark Stewart. Stacy and Mark are a hard-working singer-songwriter duo from Nashville, Tennessee, who has spent the great majority of the last 15 years on the road. With a tremendous amount of experience, songwriting, recording, and performing, the couple decided to take the music business by the horns back in the late 90s and carve out their own path.
So what we ended up doing, really, in a nutshell, is we formed our own indie label. And we never looked back. We started focusing on only situations where people would listen. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't subject ourselves to, you know, pub gigs, sports bars, anything like that.
Right.
Mark had done years of it, and he was
That for a couple of decades. So we decided let's just play ticketed shows, you know, in small theaters, coffee houses, folk series held in church auditoriums and art galleries and places like that, house concerts.
And we were extremely lucky to enjoy an amazing performance by Stacy and Mark at one of our Woodstove house concerts. Coming up, it's Stacy Earle and Mark Stewart talking about their version of the music business and their brand new album, Dedication. But first, let's find out what's happening around the wood stove. We have a few exciting projects coming up this fall at the Wood Stove House. On Saturday, October 20th, we'll be hosting our very first creativity conference. The one-day Creativity Con will be held at the Candy Factory in downtown Lancaster, and will feature a handful of guest speakers telling their stories and inspiring you to ignite your creative fire. We'll be announcing all of the details about the conference and how you can register the week of August 27th. Be sure to check out future episodes of Around the Wood Stove or visit creativitycon.com to stay in the loop about CreativityCon 2012. And coming up on Saturday, November 3rd, Lancaster's 24-hour plays returns for a night of experimental and extreme theater. Last year's 24-hour plays was an amazing explosion of creativity from some of the area's best theater talent. We're in the early planning stages for this year's event, but you can save the date now. It's Saturday, November 3rd, 2012. It's Lancaster's 24-hour plays. Our friends at the Longs Park Amphitheater Foundation here in Lancaster are celebrating 50 years of free summer concerts. From Grammy Award winners to up-and-coming bands on the verge of making it big, the series brings extremely high-quality performers to Lancaster every Sunday night all summer long. And the cost to concertgoers? Nothing. All shows are free and open to the public. To help fund them into the future, the foundation is in the middle of a fundraising campaign called Put a Candle on the Cake for their 50th birthday. Learn how you can help the foundation reach their goal of 50 candles at their website, longspark.org. And check out episode 69 of this program to hear a full interview with Judy Smith and Rich Lowe from the Longs Park Amphitheater Foundation, talking about the history of the foundation and how the music is selected each year. The 2012 series wraps up next Sunday, August 26th, with the jazz-infused R&B piano showman, Michael Casehammer. That's at 7:30 p.m. at Longs Park in Lancaster. I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. Today on the program, it's Stacy Earle and Mark Stewart, a singer-songwriter couple from Nashville, Tennessee, who were in Lancaster earlier this month to perform at a Wood Stove house concert. Stacy and Mark have been performing together for 20 years, and have spent over two-thirds of the last 15 years on the road performing in theaters, coffee houses, house concerts, and listening rooms. It's Stacy Earle and Mark Stewart talking about their version of the music business and their brand-new record, Dedication, on Around the Wood Stove. Joining me at the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, it's Stacy Earle and Mark Stewart from Nashville in town to play a Wood Stove House concert tonight. We're really, really excited to have you here. Welcome.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Welcome to Lancaster.
And a beautiful day it is.
So you are no strangers to the road.
No,
we spend about 275 days a year on tour.
Wow.
We're more strangers at home.
You're right.
Walk in the local convenience store and they go, "You're not from here, are you?
You new around here?"
Our neighbors are wondering, when are they coming home to cut their grass? They're the eyesore of the neighborhood.
No.
Yeah, how does that work?
We have friends that we pay to do it.
So, sure.
And they take care of us. And our neighbors are great. They'll grab our mail and our security. We have people say, "Will you leave your house?" And well, we have a security alarm,
but we
also have a police officer on our left and across the street.
Yeah.
So how convenient.
We're blocked in by police cars. So
right.
You can go to, right, yes, you can look at our tour schedule, see we're gone, say we're going to go break in. But I guarantee you, his bedroom, one of the officer's bedroom windows is just like, what is it, about 14 steps from our bedroom window.
Oh, there you
good
go.
Luck.
Yeah. Yeah, watermelon seed spitting distance.
Yeah, watermelon.
I just told Stacy recently they should have that in the Olympics. They should have water seed.
And he's a great guy.
And he's a great guy.
He also has a still under his carport. So really, you don't want to break into our house.
Definitely not. How long has it been since you've been on the road this much? How long have you guys been doing this as a duo?
Well, about 15 years.
15 years.
It was back in really 97 that Stacy first started going out and playing some singer-songwriter solo shows, acoustic shows. Most of them were in the Carolinas, I think Louisville, Kentucky, East Tennessee.
Malcolm Holcomb.
Okay.
And really discovered this whole world out there of that. And she came back home after, you know, weeks of doing that and said, "Hey, it's really great. Everybody listened to me. Nobody talked. You know, they all wanted to buy my CD."
Well, see, I didn't have a CD. I didn't have a CD then either because I went out with Malcolm Holcomb, and I was opening for him.
Yeah.
And the deal was, because he couldn't have a driver's license, state of North Carolina wouldn't give him one at that point. And so I would I would drive and open for Malcolm. And so I'd get really good response at the shows, and Malcolm says, "We need to make you," he goes, "You need to make a CD." And I said, "Well, I don't have a CD." So what we did is I had a bunch of demos and things I played around Nashville. So him and I went to Asheville, North Carolina, and because I had those with me, this guy put them all on a cassette. See, we're still at the cassette.
Right.
It was right before the cassette died.
That's how you how you could mass produce this.
And I sat in a parking lot, and I drew a picture and went into Kinko's and printed them on a postcard paper.
Right, right.
And then stuck the papers in the cassettes, and the guy, I think, burned off at that point. 25 cassettes and sold them out the first show. So we had to go all the way back to Asheville and make some more. And that was really my very first taste of, one, someone wants to hear my songs. Two, they're relating to them because they were coming up at the end of the show going, "Oh, you know, I felt that song," or "That's like my song now." And they wanted to buy it. And that was really, truly. And that's when I came home to Mark and I said, "I think we need to do this."
So what we ended up doing, really, in a nutshell, is we formed our own indie label.
At that time? I was going to ask you that. Yeah.
And we never looked back. We started focusing on only situations where people would listen.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't subject ourselves to, you know, pub gigs, sports bars, anything like that.
Right.
Mark had done years of it, and he was
That for a couple of decades. So we decided let's just play ticketed shows, you know, in small theaters, coffee houses, folk series held in church auditoriums and art galleries and places like that, house concerts, folk festivals. And we never looked back. There was a period I had to go through for a couple of years where I had to sort of transition out of where I had paying gigs that were the other kind,
right?
That were tempting to go do for money, and I had to sort of eventually just walk away from it and say, I'm not going to go do those roadhouse gigs anymore.
Here's a song called "Working on It" by Stacy Earle and Mark Stewart on Around the Woodstove.
If you need to write a letter just to make it all better, I'd be working on it. If the fences need a mending, and you got to be bending, get working on it.
Working
on it. If you got no wheel and you're sitting still, start working on it. When you're standing in place cause you want a safe face, you're not working on it. Working on it.
And Stacy, when we met, I think you were a staff songwriter.
I was a staff.
How did you transition out of that? Like, well, first of all, how did you get in it? And
well,
then, yeah, how did you move out?
Well, again, I was waiting tables and stuff and playing around town, mm-hmm. Jack's Guitar Bar. Any songwriting night I could play, I would play because I just needed the stage time and I just needed the time to play. And I was playing somewhere. Mark and I were playing a show at the Something Cafe, and Gillian and Dave were on it too. Gillian Welch and Dave Rawlings. We co-billed at the place in Nashville.
The Blue Sky Court.
And
yeah, that was the name of it.
The publishers of 1010 were in the audience, and they literally just walked up to the end of the show and said, "Would you like to write for us?"
Wow.
But I think they'd heard about me. Sometimes it is a matter of, because there's some great players, great songwriters in Nashville, great artists. Sometimes it is partially being in the right place at the right time.
Right, right.
And so they walked up and asked if I wanted to write for them. And at first I was kind of like, yeah, whatever, you know. Because you would get approached by all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but it came real the next day when I went into the office and they slapped a contract down. It was a real office. It was right next to Oh Boy. I said, okay, this is looking real. And then I looked around and there was people on the staff like Harley Allen. I was incredible. He had almost all the Alan Jackson cuts. I was on staff with Keith Urban.
Yeah, Keith Urban came in at that time and was a staff writer. You know, this was before he was a superstar.
I remember seeing Keith at Jack's.
Yeah.
Just on a Friday night or a Saturday night playing.
That's right. Yeah. So we were both on the same staff.
Okay.
And now that at Jack's may have been before he got his staff, because he came in just right after me.
Okay.
Angela Cassett, who wrote Something in Red for Lori Morgan. So I thought, oh, okay, these are real people. These aren't people that are trying to take advantage of me, because that can be easily done there. So signed on with them, and that was my job, was to sit in a basement and write songs all the time. And after a couple years, I realized it really wasn't my art. Everything I was writing was songs that I would have put on my own record.
Right.
That's not really cuttable for anybody else. So it might have been, maybe it was a relief to them when I left. I don't know, just the contract, didn't re-sign it.
Yeah.
I guess I was there, 3 years?
Mm-hmm.
3 years. It was a great time. I learned a lot, but it just really wasn't my gig. My brother kind of warned me of that when I signed it. He says, be prepared. It's a paycheck.
Right.
And I did. I had a weekly paycheck.
Yeah.
But it just wasn't my thing.
Stacy Earle and Mark Stewart with If You Change Your Mind on Around the Wood Stove. So you've got a new album that just came out called Dedication.
We do. We're pretty excited about it, too.
Let's talk about this album a little bit. Start with the title track, Dedication.
Dedication.
I had written a song many, many years ago. It was very autobiographical, and it was called Dedication. And when I first met Stacy, she heard me singing it at an open mic songwriter's
Jack's
night.
Guitar bar.
And she said, "I really love that song. I'd like to sing it myself." Now, the funny thing about Stacy, she didn't really come up in the background I did, where she played in bar bands and did mm-hmm. cover songs and all that. She really didn't do other people's songs. So it was quite an honor to have her want to do my song. But then she said, "I want to rewrite it, though." So we sat down to rewrite it. And because her brother Steve, who is a champion songwriter, he was staying with us. And he ended up getting in on it, too. And it became a three-way composition. Now, I'm talking about the rewritten version of the song.
It's called Crying After Night.
And we ended up later on from that recording it on a record. And it had a different title, Cry Night After Night. But years and years went by, and I kept telling Stace, "You know, I really prefer my original song. And I'm missing out." It was like an autobiographical song, and I'm missing singing it. So we started doing it in the show about a year ago, and it felt really good. And even Stacy sort of admitted, "You know, I think I like this song a lot the way it used to be." So we decided we would put it on our next record. And in that sort of period of time, we had a few people in our lives who we had lost. One of the songwriters she mentioned, Harley Allen, who is a friend of ours and a great, great songwriter out of Nashville. He had died in his 50s, and I had lost an older brother. We had each lost a parent. So we decided, you know, one of her oldest friends in Texas, Joe, had passed away. So we thought, let's do an album and sort of dedicate it to all these people we've lost and bring this old song, which is called Dedication, my original song, and let's make it the title track.
And Dedication's about an artist, basically, you know, on the road, things like that. And all these people were very musicians in their own right. Mark's brother didn't do it for a living, but he was a musician.
He was smarter than I am.
I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. Each week, we bring you interviews with performing artists and those who make the performing arts happen in and around Lancaster, Pennsylvania. If you like the show, please let us know. Drop me a line at jason@woodstovehouse.com with any comments, questions, or suggestions. And if you really like the show, consider joining other supporters of the program and drop a few bucks in the tip jar to help us do what we do. That's located in the top right corner of our website, woodstovehouse.com. And now back to our conversation with Stacy Earle and Mark Stewart on Around the Wood Stove.
So the record in all, where a lot of our records have always been upbeat. I'm very an optimistic person. Even on, you know, Mark always makes a joke that's an old Towns Van Zandt saying, Stacy's zippity-doo-dah. But really and truly, if you listen to all my writings, there's plenty of sorrow or sadness in all of them.
There's darkness in there.
There's darkness in there, but with a bright melody.
Yeah.
Or it's almost like a child twist. So you almost have to look for that darkness within the songs. This is probably the darkest we've ever got. And see, and again, I had lost my dad a few years back, and that was big for me. He was my best friend in the world. It hit me hard. It took me down. I really didn't think we'd actually announced coming off the road because I didn't think I was going to tour anymore.
Oh wow!
I really got depressed from it, and it wasn't until right before the album was made that I actually started writing. It took me 3 years to even want to write, much less play. We were still performing. Mark was kind of just dragging me around. I'd stand on stage and go through the motions. It was definitely, I would say, depression. And I just should have just listened to what everybody said. It just took me longer than some people maybe. They kept saying, time will heal, and you'll start feeling better. You'll go days where you don't think about it. And I did. It just got that way. So I guess that's when I started writing. And so I had to write my songs on it as part of the moving on. So the songs, Here Comes the Pain and Here Comes the Rain. Here Comes the Pain is very much of the night I lost Dad.
Okay.
It immediately segues into Here Comes the Rain. And it's about, okay, now you got to move on. And the sun, it's almost like the feeling of it, the sun comes out. So if you just wait, then it's going to, you know,
yeah.
In that darkness, you are going to walk into a light, whether you leave this world or not. If you just give it some time, you are going to feel better. Because when your heart's broken like that, you know, it's a tough thing. And then we have the flag on there. So there's so much as, you know, we just had all this great time in our life, but what we didn't realize how bad it sucked to grow up. Because when you grow up, that's when you start losing, unless, unfortunately, you've lost someone sooner in your life due to tragedy or illness. The average goes a long time in their life before they ever lose anybody.
Right.
And then suddenly, you know, not only have you had them longer to love, it's like, whoa, it really sucks. Suddenly you lose a parent and then another parent and maybe a sibling or a best friend. Those numbers as the ones that, you know, have cancer and just suddenly you start losing these people in your life and it gets heavier and heavier. So no matter how bright you walk through life, suddenly that dark shadow is going to be pulled over you.
Bring back a moment like that. Wouldn't I? Why wouldn't I wanna cry? When moving on is just taking too long. Wouldn't I? Why wouldn't I wanna cry? The sun begins to fall. Bringing the night that took it all. Here comes a pain of a broken heart. That stopped and wouldn't start. Counting on, calling on, they came. Breath of air that left nothing to spare but a tear that fell like the rain. When a sun begins to fall, bringing the night that took it.
That's a song called Here Comes the Pain by Stacey Earle and Mark Stewart on Around the Wood Stove.
And so the song The Flag on there, it's a real important song. We have a son that we got a phone call, our oldest son. I got the phone call. Mark was standing in the living room. Our youngest son was there. It was a beautiful day. And the phone rings, and I pick it up, and it's his wife, and she says, Chris has been hit by a car, and he's dead. And I dropped the telephone, and I hit the front door, and I ran down the street. And where I was going, I don't know. I think I was trying to run out of my body. Mark hits the door behind us, tackles me in the yard, trying to figure out what was going on, because he didn't know why I was running out the door. Neighbors called the police, thinking it's a domestic dispute. I was out of my mind. For a solid hour, I was mad at even my God, because I hadn't had time to process. I just didn't know who to be mad at.
Yeah.
I headbutted Mark even. I was out of my mind. He said, you have another son to live for, and I just headbutted him. Suddenly my mind's going, oh my God, who's going to tell Mom and Dad? Oh my God, this is going to kill my dad. Someone called my little brother Pat. I was going through all these processes. And then the phone rings. An hour goes by. It was a mistake.
It was misinformation.
It was misinformation.
He's perfectly fine, but we had gotten misinformation.
Well, he was hurt.
Right.
He was cut up. He got up under a bus and chasing his dog up under a bus. Went through a glass door. They both got under the bus. The dog was killed. Christopher wasn't, but Chris had to go to the hospital. But Mark wouldn't let him go to the hospital because I didn't believe it. Mark said, no, you bring him here now. Because she doesn't believe anybody. So between that and sitting, and this is the same time, and our son also has been to Iraq and back. And so it's kind of like, well, don't do that to me. I've already used what God gave me to try to deal with that. I can't do that again. I was also watching the Cindy Sheehan and how she was reacting. And it was really kind of a tough thing because she was sitting outside President Bush's ranch, and she wanted an apology, she wanted answers, and she took some criticism for it, for being unpatriotic, unrespectable to the lost soldiers and stuff. You know, what do you do? What does a mother do when they lose a child under that situation? I mean, we're expected to sit and receive a flag and say, I love my country.
Mm-hmm.
But which one do you love most? So we do. We will sit and we'll be respectful, but we won't share anybody, but maybe a therapist, how angry they are. Because if they show it publicly, they get criticized.
Right.
And that's wrong. So the song, The Flag, I took that with knowing what it feels like for 1 hour to lose a child. That's actually, his job is to go over and blow up bombs in a big truck. To know what it's like to lose a child for an hour, and the song is called The Flag, and it's about the parent who's received the flag.
9 months to the date, decided my entire fate. I know when I've been blessed, holding close to my breast, and rocking hours in a rocking chair, and life is seeming pretty fair. Even though we could have used a sleep, the moments move too fast to keep. First steps flew right from my arms. It's keeping up with the dragging yarn. Left from a blanket that felt so safe, while nothing else could take its place. And not letting go on the first day of school, while I was the first to sign up for the carpool. Bringing home a colored valentine, asking me, will you be mine? But knowing one day one would steal that heart, and I think that'd be the hardest part. Just knowing one day I'd have to let go of a blooming flower that's gotta grow. See, daisies come back every year, but then old, but a dandelion must blow to the wind. Some just have to be set free, depending on what they want to be. From a baseball hit high up on a tee, then sliding in and wounding a knee. From sitting high up on a bleacher, well, I heard the coach say, "You don't need her." Back home, we know what makes it well. Yes, it's already better, I can tell. Why, I think you will run again. Why, as fast as the lightning and wind. As fast as the fever rose high. The time we stayed up half the night. Cool rags on a rosy face. That night that I learned to pray. From a chair where I awoke, oh, I had leaned over and the fever had broke. Well, I have seen the mercy unfold in my praying arms I hold. Holding out for that day that comes of staying out too late and having too much fun. Mom, do you think I could use a car? Well, I promise not to go too far. No, don't go far, and don't stay late. So tell me the name of your date. Oh, just look at you standing there blushing within. You haven't been anywhere I haven't been. Now they sat together graduation day, and they said their goodbyes. Now they're going their own way. One off to college to major in, while the other had enlisted in. Enlisted in just to be someone, was recruited well by the one left holding on to the smoking gun that I placed in the hands of my own son. 'Cause we were barely getting by. Sure, the grades were good, but they weren't that high. But a GI Bill would surely pave the way for the monthly bill that I did well to pay. And as we did well to get up on our own, no, we didn't have much, but it was a loving home. I remember the day we moved in. Oh, it seemed so small back then. But now it's filled with the saddest of sounds. And the silence is just screaming out loud, turning my world inside out. Outside where I ran out, right out of the blue into the darkest of nights, as the red ran right from life. At least the stars will shine bright tonight over my angel, all dressed in white. This old flag is all I have to show for. It don't wave no more. It's folded up in a drawer. But I take it out every now and then, just to wrap myself up in before I can put it back again. It reminds me of where I've been.
Mark, let's talk about Little Rock.
Okay.
Tell me about it.
Well, it's
again.
It's not quite as depressing as Stacy's long story there. But, you know, we did notice, because we tour so much and we stay at places folk singers stay. We stay at motels, hotels that are, you know, in a certain price range, because mm-hmm. that's just part of the equation there. We had noticed we would check in with our guitars, you know, really late at night after a show. And there were families living in these these motel rooms next door to us, and there would be two families sharing a room, and they weren't there for a night. We would check in really late, get up the next day, and drive to our next concert in another city. These people were living in the motel. There would be 5, 6, maybe 8 people, including the kids, sharing a motel room, and it was because of foreclosure and unemployment. We would talk to them sometimes in the parking lot. They would see us loading our guitars, and they would be curious. The kids would come up and say, where do you play? What kind of music do you play? And stuff like that. We'd have these conversations. And I decided I'm going to write a song about these people. I'm going to write a song sort of about my experience of being a touring artist and living next door to these people who are going through this tough time in their lives. And it's called Little Rock.
Here for a day, never get to stay. Only here for a song. People say, Mr.
Both very much for taking some time to talk about this new record and life on the road. We're really excited about the show tonight. Thanks so much for being in Lancaster with us.
Thank you.
Thank you for doing the interview. It's good to see you again.
You can learn more about Stacy Earle and Mark Stewart on their website, stacyandmark.com. Or you can link up from the show post on our website, woodstovehouse.com. While you're there, you can check out past episodes of the program, subscribe to the show, or leave a few bucks in the tip jar to help us do what we do. If you like what you hear, please drop a comment on the show post, give us a good rating on iTunes, and be sure to tell your friends about the show. Around the Wood Stove was produced at the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. You can find us online at woodstovehouse.com.